Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of May 7th, 2015. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing today, D.R.?
Good. How are you doing?
All right. Very well. So, D.R., recently, I guess it was out in California, there was a big press conference, and a guy named Elon Musk, which is a great name, Elon Musk. He's the CEO of the Tesla car company. And those of you who may know, the Tesla is a very beautiful electric vehicle with a good driving range. And that driving range of the electric Tesla, that car, is because it has a pretty good battery. And Elon Musk announced a new kind of battery, right? So tell me, DR, what did Elon Musk come out and say?
He announced a new battery called the Powerwall, which an interesting title, reminds me of Powerball. But in any event, the residential battery called the Powerwall, which according to Think Progress basically will offer home and business batteries to the market. Think Progress notes that energy storage is seen as a key to expanding the use of energy, renewable energy sources such as solar and wind. Without energy storage, grid operators have to put out the exact amount of electricity that people are using every moment of the day. So what this is intended to do is that it will help retain solar energy that's generated during the day so it can be used at night. And basically, it will help begin the transition off the grid for homes and businesses, which is a revolutionary product. It costs it's going to start around $3,000 to $3,500, which I believe is sort of like the price of a big screen TV. Mm-hmm. And eventually the cost will drive down. So it's basically the first step in one of many steps to help people off the grid and help people, avoid the damage that the grid is causing to the environment.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think you've hit the high points there. And I guess just to go back over it, one of the chief drawbacks or problems or identified problems of using renewable energy is the classic one that everyone's heard, is that the wind doesn't always blow and the sun doesn't always shine, right? And so if you're dependent on solar panels and the sun doesn't come out for a while, you're out of electricity unless you have stored electricity somewhere. And of course, people may or may not realize, but it's pretty difficult to store electricity, right? As you said, typically it's used at the same time that it's made. One of the major problems with renewable energy implementation is the inability to store that energy someplace. And of course, the corollary in the existing grid is what they call peaker power plants, right? Mm-hmm. That they can turn on a natural gas plant when they need it and generate electricity or turn it off, and they are always matched to the demand. So and of course, batteries have always been difficult to make work. And so that's why this is a big breakthrough. I saw one article that said that this Powerwall battery is the iPad of batteries, right? It's the thing that's elegant, easy to use, inexpensive. Everyone's going to want one. And what it does basically is it allows people to put solar panels on their roof and then store some of that energy. And so this is a fairly big deal, right? Because now you have a commercially viable way to store power in people's homes, and it makes solar panels that much more attractive. And of course, the whole question of how to make much bigger batteries that you might put on a wind turbine someplace, right? So they have a huge battery connected to a wind turbine that they can use when they need it. That's sort of in the offing because they have this technology available.
Exactly, and as John Quiggin, an Australian economist, noted shortly after Elon Musk's announcement, he wrote, quote, "Assuming the Tesla system comes anywhere near meeting its announced specifications, and noting that electric cars are also on the market from Tesla and others, we now have just about everything we need for a technological fix for human-caused climate change based on a combination of renewable energy and energy efficiency," unquote. So, as Quiggin indicates, Elon Musk may have once and for all silenced the argument that taking action to reduce greenhouse gas emissions will somehow damage the economy. In fact, taking action to reduce greenhouse gas emissions will improve and, no pun intended, supercharge the economy.
Yeah, I mean Elon Musk is kind of a rock star now, in the sense that his company Tesla took money from the federal government back in the days when they were handing out money to companies like Solyndra, which turned out to be some kind of debacle. But Tesla paid back all the money. It's now making money. It's selling these really cool electric cars, and they're making this Powerwall thing, and they're building a huge factory in Utah someplace, right? Now, again, why they would build a factory like that in the middle of the desert, not clear to me, but they're building a huge factory to make these batteries, which of course means that the economies of scale kick in. If you're making thousands of batteries, you can make them more and more cheaply, and it's all a virtuous cycle.
And you have to ask the question that if you can have this much progress without officially putting a price on carbon, how much more progress would there be if we did?
Right. It's a great object lesson in the ability of the country to technologically respond to the challenge. And if you had even more, shall we say, financial incentive because the price of carbon was truly accurately priced, yeah, things would really, really be a good thing. But I
Exactly.
guess the other, you touched on this before as well. The utility companies don't like these things, right? Because the utility company, I mean, if you have a battery in your house, you are that much more self-sufficient, right?
Exactly.
You need the utility less and less. And to, right, so the utilities have this business model where they have a captured audience. You have to buy power from them. And to the extent that you're able to generate and store power on your own, that works against the utilities business model. And in many ways, you can make the argument that the 100-year-old model that the utilities are operating under is slowly disintegrating, much in the same way, that the internet has disrupted the ABC, CBS, and NBC, right? They now are under threat, and the same thing with newspapers going away because there's so much stuff on the internet. Well, these energy changes are making the utilities less and less relevant, and they, of course, are fighting tooth and nail to prevent the expansion of renewable energies. I mean, it's
Exactly.
really a question of decentralizing the generation and use of electricity.
Exactly. You make a great point about how these old utility companies are committing, for want of a better phrase, assault and battery on batteries, so to speak, and because they want to be, for want of a better phrase, the ever source of our energy sources.
I don't know where you got that one.
And it goes to an issue that's become quite controversial in Massachusetts, where according to a recent report, I think it's Wicked Local Norwood, about the push against the sort of lethargy that exists in this state about moving forward on solar energy. As Wicked Local Norwood points out, quote, "An issue is a cap on net metering, an incentive that allows owners of solar projects to essentially sell excess electricity that they produce back to the power grid in exchange for credits on their electric bills." And so the current state law caps the amount of solar power eligible for net metering at 4% of a utility provider's peak demand for private projects and 5% for public projects. And that state senator Jamie Eldridge has filed a bill earlier this year that would raise the net metering cap to 1,600 megawatts. It goes to the issue of why there isn't a more of a proactive push to maximize solar energy's potential in Massachusetts, and why there seems to be this sort of lethargy and this sort of at best a come see, come saw attitude about the need to move forward on solar in the state.
Right, let's unpack that a little bit because there is a very important issue going on in the solar industry in Massachusetts. So You said all the right words there, DR. There is something called net metering, right? And net metering in this case does not refer to the internet, but what it refers to is that it's the net sum of the pluses and minuses on the electricity meter on your house, right? So if you have solar panels on the roof, if it's at night and you're watching TV, then you're taking electricity off the grid and you're being charged for it. But during the day, if you make electricity, you send electricity back onto the grid and your meter runs backwards. And ultimately, you pay the net of all those uses versus generation. It turns out that for bigger public projects of large-scale installation of solar panels in part of the state, there is a limitation on how much the utilities are allowed to pay into this net metering thing, how much they're allowed to pay you back for using that, for producing that electricity. And the problem is that that payment is very important to the financial calculations of the people proposing these bigger, not residential, but these bigger solar panel installations. And that is now a problem, because if the state does not raise this cap, does not raise this limit on how much of net metering money is allowed, then these projects are going to fall apart. And what has happened recently is that the state legislature appointed a panel to go out and study the question of whether or not to raise this net metering cap. I mean, there's lots of buzzwords here, but the cap on net metering, they wanted to raise that to the number, I think it was in your, you mentioned in the article, something like 1,600 megawatts or something. And this committee came back and said that we don't need to raise the limits. And there's an article in Commonwealth Magazine who posted that says basically a minority on the committee, which it specifically would be the Associated Industries of Massachusetts, which was had a representative on the committee, and the utilities, Eversource and NSTAR, were on this committee. And while they were in a minority, it turns out that the Baker administration sided with them and has decided not to push to raise this limit to increase the amount of solar power that can be developed in Massachusetts. And that's a shame. I mean, that's a sad thing.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I think it goes beyond lethargy, as you said. I mean, there's sort of this active disregard for the need to have more solar power in the state.
And in the Boston Globe report about on that task force study, they quote Ben Hillerstein of Environment Massachusetts as noting, quote, we shouldn't be asking ourselves what kind of cap we should put on clean energy. We should ask ourselves how we can get as much clean energy as quickly as possible, unquote. And it goes back to this whole idea that, you know, the philosophy and the thinking among high level officials in the current administration that solar power isn't really as sexy or as interesting or as attractive as fracked natural gas, and that's what we really really love.
Yeah,
but solar, not so much. Natural gas, go.
That's right. We got to pay for those pipelines because
it's a bizarre thinking. It's bizarre logic.
Yeah. So So there's this discussion, and I guess to give the devil his due, we should at least say that I think the argument that the Associated Industries of Massachusetts and the proponents on the other side of not raising the net metering cap, they make the following argument, I think, I hope I can quote it properly, is that in Massachusetts's decentralized power grid now, there's a distinction between people who generate power and people who transmit power. And the claim is that if you have a solar panel on your roof and you're putting power out onto the grid and being paid for it, you, the homeowner, are not paying the cost of transmitting that power. You're just dumping it onto the grid, and somebody else has to maintain the grid. And therefore, you're getting a free ride, and the rate payer has to pay more money to accommodate the power that you're dumping on for free, and in fact getting paid for. And of course, the utilities then say, well, that means that the electricity is more expensive from solar panels. Oh, and there's a much, much better way to do it. We don't know what it is, and we'll think about it later, but we shouldn't raise this limit. It seems to me that's an easily changed argument because the utilities just shouldn't pass on the cost to the taxpayer, right? Or the ratepayer. I mean, the state legislature can pass a law saying the utility doesn't have to do that. And that would resolve this question, and I think it's kind of a false argument anyway. It's this false flag operation. It's a talking point to try and say how bad those rotten people with solar panels are. Right? They're just freeloading on the system.
It's a very slickly crafted argument in favor of the status quo.
Right.
And this is a fight, as David Roberts and Peter Sinclair and others have noted, this is a fight between the status quo and change, and you see again how change gets resisted and how that resistance simply motivates people to push more and more for change because, you know, people want to get off the national grid. They don't want to stay on it.
Right. Well, so there's the sort of connection for the week, right? You have a power wall, new technology enabling ever greater usage of solar panels, and here in Massachusetts, we've got some, I'll call them troglodytes, who are trying to push us backwards and not take advantage of this and not build for the future. Mm-hmm. An unhappy thing, but we have to leave it there, DR. We can't beat them up anymore. We'll just tell our listeners they can check out links to most of what we discussed at the blog. It's massclimateaction.wordpress.com. Leave us a comment or send us an email, comment@massclimateaction.net. You can find us on Facebook @massclimateaction. You notice a theme there. Most of our things are branded with Mass Climate Action. You can listen to our show there. Share it with your friends. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher. You can find us on iTunes. Search for Massachusetts Climate Action. So we'll close where we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it is our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. Thanks very much for being here, DR.
Thanks.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Call your state legislator and urge them to pass that cap, raise that net metering cap. Goodbye, and see you all next week.
Thanks for being with us, and until next time, be green.
Very cool.